Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for another opportunity to gather together in the house of God. Every time we get a chance to gather in your house, it's a great blessing. Fellowship one with another and fellowship with our Lord Jesus Christ. And we give you all the praise. We give you all the glory this morning, Lord. And the Bible says the entrance of your word gives light. Lord, we expect and believe that light this morning in every heart to move the clouds out and give us an understanding. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. And Lord, also today we ask that you stretch forth your mighty hand to heal, that signs and wonders will be done in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, even in this place today. And everybody says, amen. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Amen. Today, I want everybody to please sit down and listen to this message because it is very vital. And, the Lord has given me this message for many, many months. But, it just wasn't time, until today. So today, the message is titled, Mobilize to Evangelize. Now that's mobilize to evangelize. Now that's the topic of the message today. And what we want to share with us today is going to be part of the very reason, and perhaps even the very reason why this church is here. Now, let me start by saying that Gospel Missions International Ministries was founded on one premise, and that's to take the gospel to the nations. How many of you can say amen to that? Now, that was not, we didn't start this church for everybody to come and sit down and get comfortable inside these four walls. Well, if that's what we wanted to do, then there's no difference, with everything else, but that's not what we wanted to do. What the Lord asked us to do was to take this gospel to the nations. And we're going to be talking about that this morning. And I want to start, by letting us know that very thing. And I want everybody to pay attention to this message. Letting us know what the very thing that is in the very mind of the Lord right now. And we're going to start. If you have your Bibles, I will give a few scriptures. And then I'm going to tell you. Jesus declared in John chapter 20 and verse 21. And he said, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. Now that's as my Father has sent me. Now, how did his Father send him then? Acts chapter 10 and verse 38. It says, how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. How many of you say amen? Amen. And he went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, because God was with him. Now that's how God sent him. And Jesus said, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. Now, so you put those two scriptures together, and then you go to John chapter 4 and verse 34, and Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of my Father and to finish his work. Now, that Jesus said that's his meat. He was at the well talking to the Samaritan woman and so forth, and his disciples had gone to the town to get some food. And when he came back, they found he didn't even care about the food and so forth, And then said, what, did you already eat? I thought you were hungry. And he said, no, I got other food that you guys don't know anything about. My food is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Now, Jesus clearly said, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. So, you know, we put all of that together, it becomes our job. And our focus should also be to do the will of him, Jesus, that sent us like his Father sent him. And to finish his work. Because that was his own purpose. He said, the way that my Father sent me, I'm sending you in the same way. And when he was sent on that mission, he said, my purpose in life is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Now, so that should also be our purpose, is to do the will of him that sent us and also to finish his work. And we're going to be talking about that this morning. Now, what is the mission then? What is the mission? You know, like Gospel Missions International, I mean, of course, you know, that's just in the name and so forth. But what is the name? I mean, what is the mission that Jesus has sent us, you know, wherein he said, as my Father has sent me? John chapter 10 and verse 16. Now, this is the thing that is uppermost, I don't care what anybody thinks or believes. We're going to bring it straight out of the scriptures this morning. And I've already prayed just about all night, you know, that the Lord will open the understanding of everyone here today to understand this. Praise God. John chapter 10 and verse 16. This is what Jesus said. In fact, you know, he lamented in his spirit when he said this. He said, other sheep I have that are not yet of this fold, them also I must bring. Amen?
Yeah.
That I must bring. So that there will be one fold and one shepherd. I mean, that was the thing that was the burden of his heart. You know, and he said, you know, I've got other sheep that are not yet here in this fold, and I must bring them in. Them also must I bring. This was the thing that was, and how was he going to do it? He put it all in the hands of the disciples. You know, because he said, you know, I go unto my Father and so forth like that, and I'm going to send you to carry on this work and get every one of those sheep and preach this gospel all around the world. And then, when you're done with that, and when my house is filled, then will the end come. So we're going to look at some scriptures to see what Jesus meant by all of that. In Mark chapter 16. Verses 15 to 20. Now this is what Jesus left with the disciples when he was about leaving. And he told them, here's what he wanted to do. In order for this vision that we just read in John 10 and 16 to be fulfilled, how he's going to bring all the other sheep that are not yet in the fold, that were not yet in the fold at the time he was speaking, how was he going to do it? Well, he was going to enlist the disciples, not only the disciples that were with him at that time, but the others that were going to believe the gospel even through their word. Jesus said, and I prayed in John chapter 17, not only for these, but for all the others that will believe me, even through them. So he told them in Mark chapter 16, and here's what he told them to do, you know, how, you know, they should go and so forth like that. Acts chapter 16 and verse 15. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now that's every creature. I mean, whether they believe it or not, preach the gospel anyhow. Now, he that believeth, out of all those people that you preach the gospel to, and is baptized, shall be saved. Now, there's no if, ands, and buts about it. If they believe, they're baptized, they will be saved. But he that believeth not, shall be damned. You know, he put it straight out like that. You know, and he said, these signs, and we're going to talk about this, verse 17 this morning also. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name. See, every one of you that's in here that believe in the name of the Lord Jesus, these are the things that you should be doing. In my name, they shall cast out devils.
Amen.
See, are you casting out those devils? You know? He said they shall even speak with new tongues. Well, they shall take up serpents and so forth like that. You know, one time Paul, you know, a serpent wrapped around his hand and they thought that he was going to die. He just shook the thing into the fire and went about his business. They shall take up serpents, and if, he didn't ask them to go drink poison, but say, if they drink any deadly thing, like somebody try to put some stuff in your food and so forth like that, it shall not harm them. Amen. And also, they shall lay their hands on the sick. My. And they shall recover.
Amen.
I mean, these are the things, and he sent them. You know, he told them, and the Bible says, and they went everywhere, verse 20. They went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord walking with them. See, and confirming the word with signs following. I mean, they went everywhere. And why did they go everywhere? He told them, there's another version of this in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 20. You know, he began to tell them a verse or so before that, I say, all power in heaven and on earth is given unto me. Therefore, go in my name and make disciples of all nations and so forth like that. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. How many of you love the sound of that? I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. No matter where you go in preaching the gospel, Jesus said, I am with you. Now, we must keep this on this mission until his house is filled. There is a story, there's a parable that Jesus told in Luke chapter 14 and verses 21 to 23. He said the kingdom of God is like this and so forth like that. You know, king made a supper and so forth, asked some people to come, they didn't come and all that. Then he sent his servant, go get them from, you know, and so forth like that. And people didn't come, you know. So finally he said, well, you know, now go to the highways and so forth like that. Bring in all those people and so forth, because, you know, my house, there's room in my house. I got to fill up this place. You know, here's what he said. Luke chapter 14 and verse 21. So that servant came and showed the Lord these tidings, because the people gave excuses. They didn't want to come. Say, I married a wife. I bought some this and that and so forth. So the Lord said, you know, okay, well, go out quickly into the streets and go to the lanes of the city and bring in the poor, the maimed, the halt, and the blind. Just go bring anybody in, you know, get this place, you know, filled up and so forth. And the servant said, Lord, and he went out and did all of that, and he came back and said, Lord, it is done, but there is still room remaining. Well, the Lord said, well, then that means you keep doing it, see, because my house must be filled. So he said to him, go out on the highways now and hedges and compel them. Now, I'm going to talk about that word compel in a minute. Compel them to come in so that my house may be filled. Everybody say, my house may be filled. Now, God wants us to go and compel them. How do you compel them? With the signs and the wonders. And I'm going to read some scriptures to you this morning where every time there was a sign and a wonder, the Bible said they all turned unto the Lord. And I was here last week and I gave you the testimony of what we did in the Philippines and so forth, and the Lord, you know, the report of all the miracles that the Lord did. And I noticed that, you know, in some places, our whole village, as I told you last week, turned to the Lord, you know, because of the things that they saw, you know, and so forth like that, you know. Now, but I'm not talking about everybody being called to be an evangelist this morning. That's not what I'm talking about. Now, not all of us will have that ministry of an evangelist, but every one of us. Now, that's you sitting down here. You know, that's the praise team up here. That's every little child. That's every little boy. That's every girl. That's every man. That's every woman that's in this place. And, of course, everywhere in the body of Christ. But I'm talking to these people here today. That's everybody here. All of us are called to be soul winners.
Hallelujah.
And there, I'm talking about personal evangelism today. You know, that's what I'm talking about. You don't have to be, you know, I mean, you know, well, you know, I have the privilege of going to the Philippines and preaching and all those places and so forth like that. And we'll be going to some other places in Africa in a few months and all that. You know, I mean, but you don't have to do all of that. You know, but in your schools,
amen,
at your places of work, on your streets where you live, everywhere you go, in the grocery stores and everywhere, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord. And ye must be witnesses. In the book of Hebrews chapter 13, and verse 13. He says we must go beyond the camp. That you must go outside of these four walls and take his reproach.
Amen.
You cannot sit in the comfort zone of the church. Now, let me rephrase that. I mean the physical walls of this building. Now, the church is a building. Oh yeah. But it's not this kind of building. Because Jesus said, on this rock will I build my church. So the church is a building. But it is a building that is made by the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah.
Fitly framed together for an habitation of God through the Spirit.
Amen.
It's not a building made with bricks. God does not dwell in buildings like these that are made with hands. You know, you couldn't do anything to get God in any of those buildings. But he dwells in the building that he himself made. Which he said, I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. But they're going to try, but they can't prevail against it. You see, but we got to push those gates of hell back. Now, how is Jesus building that church? This church that we are talking about is comprised of all believers that are born into the kingdom of God through the knowledge of Jesus Christ. You know, that includes local churches everywhere. They are all part of that universal church. That includes individual believers. You know, now I'm talking to this church today as a body of believers, but I'm also talking to everybody as an individual. The Bible says in Amos chapter 6 and verses 1 and 2, woe unto them that are at ease in Zion. You know, now when a couple of years ago, about two and a half years or so ago, and so forth, the Lord began to stir some things in my heart and so forth, along with a couple of the other brethren, and we began to seek the Lord that it was time for us to, you know, just get away from the status quo, so to speak, and begin to do something for the Lord. Well, we done that and so forth like that, and out of that came the ministry and then the church and so forth like that. Well, 2.5 years later and so forth, well, that's since the ministry started. The church itself hasn't been here for quite 2.5 years, but since the ministry started, you know. Well, I look back and I see that we are getting into another comfort zone. See? Now, so, you know, it's nice now to come into the church, sing praise to the Lord and do all of these things and so forth like that, and then go on about our business and come back on Sunday. And then praise the Lord some more. And then you go throughout the week and then you come back the next week. And then you praise the Lord some more. Now that's not as my Father has sent me. So send I you. Now that's not the mission that the Lord gave to us upon the earth. He didn't tell us to just go to church on Sunday and sit down and shout the victory and so forth. And then you go and throughout the week, nobody knows anything about your life being a child of God or a witness for Christ. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. And ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Amen. And what is the reason for that? Ye shall be my witnesses.
Hallelujah.
See, that is the number one purpose of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Now many of you here receive the Holy Ghost, shout in tongues and jump up and down and so forth like that. But that's about all. You know, well, you know, you say, well, you know, no, you know. Ye shall be my witnesses. In your schools. Now you young children, you young, you listen to me, and even young adults and everybody, you listen to me this morning. Don't worry about, you know, the message and so forth like that. But you listen to what the Lord is saying to you. Praise God. As many as I love, I chasten and rebuke. Oh yes. He wants us to get up this morning and become witnesses for him. You know, we've sat in the church too long. We come to these church services and they're great. And we praise team and everybody and so forth. And we enjoy and we have a great time. And then we go out on Monday, nothing happens. We go out on Tuesday, nothing happens. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and come back again on Sunday. Well, the Bible says in the early church, daily, the word of God grew and multiplied. And he added to the church such as should be saved every day. Now, I don't see people being added to the church such as should be saved every day. Why? Because the people are not going everywhere and telling about the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody is just to your tent, O Israel. Everybody is just minding their own business, doing their own thing. The students, you know, they don't want any part of Jesus, you know, because, you know, maybe it's not popular in your schools and so forth like that. Now, let me tell you something. Let me challenge the students today. Those of you who are students, I don't care if you are in grade school, high school, college, or wherever you are. When I was a student, everybody wanted to be a believer because they saw the power of God. See, we didn't back down from anybody, you know, and so forth like that, you know, like people do today, you know, and so forth. People think that, no, I think it is the greatest thing in the world to be a child of God. You know, I don't know of anybody else that has what I got. They don't have it. They couldn't even come near or close to what I got in the Lord. And I'm proud to share it. Are you? You know, but if you think that, well, see, you know, it's not popular with my friends and so forth like that, you know, and so on, you know. And then, you know, some people make, you know, things, you know. I remember when I was, you know, first year or so in college, you know, when I got to this place, it was called Federal School of Science in Lagos. And my first day in school, I went to the cafeteria, you know, and so forth like that, you know. And I noticed that there was one set of empty tables, you know, and everybody else was crowded up in all the other tables and so forth like that. You know, but they had this long table there that nobody would sit on, you know, and I just got my food. You know, I just went and sat down over there, and you know, the whole place, you know, people started rumbling and so forth. I'm like, well, you know, I don't, you know. So somebody walks up to me and say, well, you're either very brave or very stupid. You know, and I said, what's going on? He said, well, do you know this table, who owns this table you're sitting on? I said, no, who's? He said, well, you know, there's a group there, you know, called the Pirates and so forth, you know, they terrorize the whole school, you know, the huge boys and all kinds of things. And, you know, before you get in there, you know, they put you into all kinds of initiations and so forth. They drink all kinds of concoctions. They do all kinds of crazy things, you know. And they said, well, you know, this is their table. I said, not anymore. Hallelujah. There's a new sheriff in town. Hallelujah. You know, those were my exact words in those days. I said, well, not anymore. Not today, it isn't. Today, I sit on this table. Hallelujah. Yeah, you know. I didn't care. I mean, I was a short, you know, little person and so forth. I was even smaller in stature than this. But I didn't care about anybody who's 6 foot tall or anything. It didn't make any difference to me at all. You know? And then the next thing I know, boy, you know, nobody dared to come to that table. When those boys came in, you know, huge and so forth like that, you know, they saw me sitting on that table, they just went back. You know, I sat there, you know, I spread out, you know, enjoyed myself. Everybody else cried. No, I just enjoyed myself, you know. And then one day, I'm not saying this for the young people, you know, because we've all been there, you know, we've all been there and so forth like that. You know, then one day, you know, in the dormitory, you know, where we lived, you know, and so forth, you had to go through, you know, it was a big long room and you had to go through different, you know, you could come in this way or go through this way or whatever. And there were these, you know, these guys and so forth, this gang or whatever you want to call it, cult was what they were. They had a section in there. You didn't dare pass through there. You know, you had to go through the other way. Every time I went to the dorm, I went through there. I just passed through there anyhow. You know, just to see, just to provoke them, see what they are going to do. You know, because I was a child of the King.
Hallelujah.
Amen. And he that is in me is greater than he that is in the world. And so one of these days I was passing through there, and there was one boy, and he'd been wanting to come to our fellowship and so forth, and he, you know, he wouldn't do it because, you know, they were terrorizing him and so forth, you know. And I, you know, got in there, I saw him on the floor rolling and so forth that day, you know, and I, you know, I saw all these huge people standing around and so forth like that, you know. And when I started come, they made way, you know, they just made way. And I was a little guy. You know, and I saw this guy roll on floor. I said, what the world is wrong with him? He said, well, you know, I think they went through their initiation. And they made him drink some things, boy. You know, and so anyway, he was rolling in pain and so forth. They'd say he'd been like that in an hour. And I bent over there and I recognized the guy, because we had preached to him once, but he didn't want to take the gospel. And I said to him, boy, you know, I don't know what you're doing there, but you know, I feel sorry for you. And he said, I want you to pray for me. I said, why? Because he kind of whispered, he didn't want the people to hear. He said, I want you to pray for me. I said, what? I said, I didn't hear you. You know, I said, say it loud so they can all hear. You know, then he said, well, I want you to pray for me. And I said, and I looked around at everybody quiet. You know, there was about 10, 15 of them there, you know, hanging around him there. I said, well, I want to pray for him. You know, of course, back in those days, you know, what you did was you stood up for the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And I looked over him and said, well, okay, he asked me to pray, and everybody kept quiet. And I looked up, I said one word, I said, in Jesus' name, come out of him.
Hallelujah.
And he rolled his eyes. Boy, and the kinds of things that came out of him that morning, I cannot describe it in the church here because there's young people here, you know. And next thing I know, he rolled over, he rushed into the bathroom, and he made a big mess there, you know, and all those demons, and he settled down. And many of those pirates gave their lives to the Lord that day. How many of you say praise the Lord? Now, you young people, in your schools, you should do even more than that. Now, I don't care when, you know, anybody tells you anything like that, you stand up for the name of the Lord. Because you are a child of the King. You know, we, back in our days, you know, everybody wanted to be a Christian because of the power of God. You know. It was the in thing, you know, was to be a believer. And if they were not, they were considered the minority. You know, I mean, they were inferior. You know, if they were not, you know, in the sect that were Christians or believers or whatever, you know, that way they called them Jesus people or whatever. We didn't back down from the Lord. And Jesus wants you to stand up and preach the gospel. Now, there are some rewards for preaching the gospel. In Proverbs 11 and verse 30, he says, he that winneth souls is wise. And then Daniel chapter 12 and verse 3 tells you the rewards for the wise. He said, those that be wise, they will shine as the firmaments with lights in the kingdom of God forever. See? Now he's got some rewards. Behold, I come quickly. And my reward is with me. And I will give to every man according as his work shall be. But he's also got some warnings. And I'm going to read the warnings to us this morning. Now this message I will not finish today. I'm going to do it in a series. Because I don't want to preach very long today. You know, so there's going to be a series of messages. You don't want to miss any part of it. And when we're finished with the inspirational messages, then we're going to do some teachings. To see how we can actually teach everybody to become a soul winner and a disciple. You know, Paul said to Timothy, I believe he said it in 2 Timothy chapter 2, and I think he said it in verse 2. He said, the things which I'm going to teach you, you be careful and find some people also that you can teach it to, you know, and set it before other faithful men and so forth. You know, so, you know, and the things that thou hast heard of me, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2. Among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men that may also be able to teach others also. Now that's how the kingdom of God makes progress. We teach some people and then they teach somebody else. You know, we get somebody saved and then they get somebody else saved. Andrew first findeth his brother Peter. Now, we don't know that Andrew did many great signs and miracles after that, but he found Peter. And I'm going to read to you in a minute some of the things that Peter did in the Bible. And without Andrew bringing Peter to the Lord, none of those things would have happened. How many of you say amen? Amen. Now, every soul that you win to the kingdom of God is a crown, is a jewel in the crown of Jesus, but also goes to your account. And then they can win somebody else, and you can continue winning somebody else. Now, let me read the warning that Jesus gave in John chapter 15. In John chapter 15, here's what Jesus has to say about how we conduct our life in Him. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch, now this is the warning. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Now, those are the very words of our Lord Jesus Christ. The trouble with people today is they don't believe any of the words of Jesus. Because if you did, you know, and if people did, you know, they'd wake up when the Lord says these kinds of things. Well, the Bible does say, even though we don't speak, we are persuaded better things of you. You know, so I'm saying it this way, but I know, you know, that there are many people in here that do believe the word of God. And will respond positively to the word of God today. Now, but here's what Jesus has to say. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. See? And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, so that it may bring forth more fruit. Now, it's like a gardener, and he's got a tree and so forth, and there's some dead branches and some dead leaves. He's going to cut those dead leaves and dead branches off. And that's what Jesus is saying. If you are saying that I am a child of God, and you are not bringing forth fruit, beware now. because he may cut you off. And these are the very words of the Lord, not my words. But if you are bringing fruit, then the Lord is going to make a way for you and train you and purge some things out and so forth, empower you some more to bring forth even more fruit. Because he doesn't have any use for any dead branches. See? But what do they do with dead branches? Men gather them together and cast them into the fire. That's what he says. Just read it down in verse 6. He says, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. See? Now that's what he does with dead wheat. Dead branches that are not bringing forth fruit. Now, I don't want to be a dead branch, do you? I want to bring forth fruit in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Now, here's what he says. Here are some promises. Now, this is the good news. See, there are some promises of what he says. You know, of course, we already read that he said, I'll be with you always to the end of the world. And he gave them the commission and so forth. But here's what he said. Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 11. He said, as the rain comes from the heaven to the ground and does not return up again, so shall it be with my word. It shall not return void. So that's a promise that the Lord has given us when we preach the gospel. The word will not return void, but the Lord will confirm that word. He said it will prosper in the thing where I was sending, and it will accomplish its purpose. The purpose of the word of God is to bring... Now let me read it to you straight, the purpose. What is the purpose of the word of God? What is the purpose? I mean, why do we witness? Why do we tell people about the Lord? Turn with me to Acts chapter 26. And I'm going to read verse 18. What is it that... I mean, what do we do when we witness? What do we do when we tell people about Christ? Now the reason, part of the reason that some people are not doing it, and I'm going to get to that in a few minutes, is there is no compassion. People have lost their compassion for souls. You know, they don't have compassion, they don't care that people, you know, don't know anything about the Lord, or people are hurting or suffering, or people are going straight into damnation because they have not believed on the name of the Lord Jesus. And so we don't really care, you know, we just kind of in a world of spiritual apathy, you know, and we just, you know, we don't care about anything. We just go about our business and so forth like that. And the whole world is plunging to destruction because we don't have compassion. Well, here's what the Bible says about Jesus before I read Acts 28, 26. It says about Jesus in Matthew 9, verses 35 to 38. He said he looked at the people and he was moved with compassion because he saw there were many, many people that didn't have, you know, they didn't know the knowledge of the truth and so forth. They were like sheep without a shepherd. And his heart was moved with compassion. Now that's Matthew chapter 9 and verse 36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and was scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. You know, then he said to his disciples, you know, when you have compassion, you'll notice that the harvest of souls is related and tied to compassion. The compassion that Jesus showed in chapter 9 of Matthew and verse 36 caused him to say, look, the harvest is already ripe. So you better pray and ask God to send laborers. Now, when we started this ministry a few years back, you know, so forth like that, you know, I have been sitting in the status quo for so long. You know, and, you know, so the first few things, you know, I got a couple of brothers together. You've heard the story. I don't want to go into all of that this morning. But we prayed for about 4.5 to 5 months straight every week. And said, Lord, put that compassion back in our hearts. You know, and so forth like that. You know, just bring that burden for souls. And every week we would meet, we would fast, we would pray, and then we just kept praying. Lord, bring that burden for souls. Bring that burden for souls. Bring that passion for souls. The next thing you know, the Holy Ghost began to move. See? Boy, you know, and finally, he put a fire in our bones, you know, and in our hearts, you know, compassion for the soul and so forth. And we began to reach out. And the Lord said, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. See? So you pray that the Lord will send laborers and so forth like that. And the best prayer is, here I am, Lord. Send me. Amen? That is the best prayer, because the Lord said, who shall I send? He said, here I am, Lord. send me. Now, let me read to you the Acts chapter 26, what I wanted to read. What is it that when we take the gospel or when we share the gospel with people, what is it that we want to do? Acts 28, 26 and verse 18. Now, this is the reason for bringing the gospel to people. This is Paul's own testimony, you know, that he gave. And when he was standing before King Agrippa, and he gave this testimony of how he saw the light on the way to Damascus, and so forth like that, you know, when he was trying to persecute the church. And then Jesus spoke to him and so forth and told him, gave him a mission. And here's what he said, that the Lord told him. He said the Lord told him, appeared to him, and he's going to send him to deliver him and so forth. And he gave him this thing. You know, this is, now notice the things that he's supposed to do in bringing the gospel to people. One, Acts chapter 26, verse 18. The first thing is to open their eyes. Amen? See, because people are blind to the knowledge of the truth. So the first thing is to open their eyes. See? And the second thing is to turn them from darkness unto light. And you say, turn them from darkness unto light? Yes. And from the power of Satan unto God. See, because the world is bound by the power of the devil. And God wants us not only to open their eyes, but to bring them out of darkness into light, but then to deliver them from the power of Satan. That's what we do. That they might receive, you know, when we do all of that, it is so that the people might receive forgiveness of sins. And that they might enter into the inheritance, you know, among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. That's what Jesus said. Now, this is our mission. In case you've never read that verse, that's exactly our mission. It encapsulates everything we're supposed to be doing. Open the eyes of the blind, those who are spiritually blind. Give them understanding, get them out of darkness into light. Share the light. Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see. Share the light. And then when you do, deliver them from the power of Satan and so forth. You know, and then so that they may receive forgiveness of their sins. Well, you know, there was a prophet in the Bible. He didn't want any part of that. In fact, he didn't want the people to be forgiven. He didn't want the people to be saved. You say, there was such a prophet in the Bible? Yes, I'm going to tell you his name in a minute, but I'll let you think about it. And God told him, send him down to Nineveh. And then now you probably know his name was Jonah. And God sent him down there, 120,000 souls that God wanted to save. But Jonah wouldn't have any part of it. He didn't want those people to be saved. He didn't want those people to receive forgiveness of sins. Can you believe that? You say, is that in the Bible? Yes, turn with me to Jonah. The book of Jonah. And I'm going to read chapter 3. Now, some of you may already know this whole story, so I'm not going to tell you all of it. But you can read the whole book of Jonah if you want. God had sent him on a mission to go preach to that big city. You know, and say it took them 3 days' journey to go around the city. Huge city. Hundreds and hundreds of thousands of souls. And their cup of iniquity had come up to God. And God wanted to destroy the place. So he called Jonah and said, go down there and preach to these people that their eyes might be opened. See, that they might come out of darkness into light, that deliver them from the power of their sins and keep them into the kingdom of God so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and so that they may come into my kingdom. And Jonah said, no, I'm not going to do it. So I'm going to get away as far away from God as I can because I don't want those people saved. You see, he said that, yes. Jonah chapter 3. And I'm going to read verse 4. Jonah chapter 4. I'm going to read Jonah chapter 4. But he displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he said unto the Lord, he prayed unto the Lord, and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was this not my saying when I was yet in my country? Was this not the reason? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God. See? And I know that you are merciful. And I know that you are slow to anger. And I know that you are of great kindness. And I know that you will repent of the evil. If I go down there and preach, I know you will repent. And I know you will save those people. But those people, they have done all sorts of things against the Lord. And they need to be wiped out. Those people, their cup of iniquity is full. God will destroy them. And Jonah wouldn't have any part of it. God told him, go down there and preach to them. I want to save them. Jonah said, I won't do it. Because I know if I go down there, you will save them. Because they will repent. So Jonah didn't want them to be saved. How many of you think that's beautiful? Now that's a prophet. He didn't even want the people to be saved. And he got away as far as he could from the presence of God because he didn't want the mercy of God to convert those people. Because he knew that God was merciful. But God said, you're going to do the thing I sent you anyhow. Amen? Amen. I don't care if you run anywhere, God's going to get a hold of you. So you better do it to begin with. Because he brought him, he put him in the belly of the whale. Some of you have read that story. And he did whatever he did. And he finally came back and he preached. And when he preached, you can check his message out. He didn't even have any compassion for those people. He just went through the city and said, yet 40 days and these people will be destroyed. But God said, my word shall not fall to the ground anymore. All that God needs is a voice. And I don't care whether you preach the gospel out of spite or out of whatever. The Lord will use that gospel. And he will preach to the people. But he needs you to go. You see, faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. They cannot hear except they be preached to. Somebody's got to tell them about the love of Jesus. How many of you say amen? And you say, well, I don't know how to preach. Well, just tell them what the Lord has done in your life. That's all you need to do. And I'm going to show you another way in a minute. See? So Jonah, he didn't want any part of those people getting saved. I mean, that is so pitiful. And the Lord had to teach him a story by something that didn't even mean anything, a plant or whatever. You know, and finally got his attention and so forth like that. I don't want to go into all of that. You know, but, you know, sometimes, you know, the attitude of people today is almost like that. You know, some people want that place to be destroyed. Well, every time we see any kind of destruction, they say, well, you know, that's because all their sins have come to the full. You know, the earthquake in China and the this and, you know, over here and so forth, and the tsunami over here and the destruction in New Orleans and so forth like that. And that's because their sins have come to the full. Well, you know, Jesus died for those people too. And the Bible said that except you likewise repent. Luke chapter 13 and verse 5. Do you think that those people were more sinners than anybody else? No. But except you repent also, you shall all likewise perish. You know, so, you know, the judgment of God for a long time has been lingering, but it is because of his mercy. It is so that we can get in there and save a few people before the judgment of God. You know, rather than be judgmental and cynical and so forth, you know, let's get in there and save some people. Amen? Amen. Let's show some people the love of God. And how do you do it? Well, you know, I'll tell you something. You say, well, I don't know how to preach. I don't know how to do this. Well, the Bible said, this sign shall follow them that believe. In my name, they shall cast out devils. They lay their hands on the sick. Now, if you lay your hand on the sick and somebody is healed, they jump up and down and so forth. The Bible says a whole city can turn to God just by it, you know, in your school. I remember when I was in high school, I say this for the benefit of the young people. We had one man there that sold this Samco ice cream or fan ice or whatever they called it back in those days. He had this little bicycle and he had this Sam milk or Samco milk or fan milk or whatever that he sold. Some of you who are from Nigeria and I know about that. And he sold that for years. But he was deaf and dumb. He never spoke a single word the whole life. And he was a grown man and so forth like that. And every day he was there. And the whole school, you know, patronized him and so forth because of his condition. Everybody knew his name. Actually, his name was Sam. You know. And so one day, you know, through the power of God, I tell you what, you know, when that guy was healed and he spoke and he heard and he started running around the campus, the whole school,
hallelujah,
the whole school was brought to attention. Hallelujah. And everybody knew that a miracle had taken place. Well, and after that, people started to line up in front of our fellowships. You know, we didn't care about, you know, even stopping the fellowship and preaching a different sermon. We just went on about it. And people would line up there and they would cry and they'd come in and the power of God would fall in there. See, one soul, one miracle that was done like that. Now, the people that Jesus sent, let me show you some examples in the Bible quickly. They were ordinary people. You say ordinary people? Yes. Peter, John, James, all of these people were fishermen. How many of you know they were fishermen? Jesus in fact said, I will make you fishers of men. He used the language that they could understand. They were fishers of men. They were fishermen. In fact, one time they stood before the council and so forth, after they wrought that great miracle, John and Peter, you know, in the book of Acts, after they did that great miracle, you know, as they went in chapter 3 there, and then they noticed that they were unlearned men. The Bible said these people were not educated, they were not great philosophers and so forth like that. All they knew was the power of God. And Jesus had told them, he called his disciples together, gave them power over unclean spirits. And they went out with the power of God, and that's all they did. Now, let's see what they did in Acts, just a few examples here. Acts chapter 3. Now, here's Peter and John going in there. They're not going to back down from this man that was sitting down there every day asking for, you know, some, you know, alms, you know, he was just begging and so forth. But Peter got in there, they said, look, I don't have any money to give you. Silver and gold have I none. That's Acts chapter 3 and verse 6. But such as I have, I give unto you. In the name of Jesus Christ. Now that's how you do the miracles. And we're going to show that here in a few minutes. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately, amen, the man was healed. And when he was healed, people gathered about and so forth. They said, wow. And Peter told them, he said, look, verse 12. Ye men of Israel, why marvel you at this? And look so earnestly upon us as though by our own power or holiness we have done this. It's not by our power or holiness. How do we do it? It is the power of the Spirit of God. And it is his name, the name of Jesus, verse 16. His name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know, and has given him this faith and this soundness in front of you all. Now, you know, you said Peter did all of that. Yes, and Peter did even more. You know, but you say, well, Peter was one of the apostles and so forth. That's why he did all of that. Well, okay, fine. What about in Acts chapter 6? When the apostles were being bothered about handling administrative affairs, and they said, well, we don't want to do any part of that. You know, just seek out some people and so forth, and we'll just preach the gospel. You guys, you know, just find some people that can handle all this other matters and so forth. Well, so they picked out some people, and two of them, I'm going to talk about this more, I don't have a lot of time. One of them was called Stephen, and the other one was called Philip. Now look at what they did in Acts chapter 6. In Acts chapter 6, in verse 5, the same pleased the people, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Ghost, and Philip. So Stephen and Philip were two of those people that were just chosen out of just ordinary people. They were not part of the original disciples or the original apostles. They were just chosen, you know, and so forth like that, you know, to handle some administrative things in the church, you know, the church business and so forth. Now, verse 8 of Acts chapter 6. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. How many of you say amen to that?
Amen.
This was Stephen. He wasn't even one of the apostles. He was just one of those people. But he did great wonders and miracles among the people and so forth. Now, look at what Philip did in Acts chapter 8. In Acts chapter 8, verses 5 through 8, Philip, the Bible says Philip went down to the city of Samaria. He was also just one of those, you might call them deacons or whatever, that they just picked out and chose. And he preached Christ unto those people. And when he did all of that, you know, the Bible says that, you know, when they saw the things that they did and seeing the miracles that he did, unclean spirits, Acts chapter 8, verse 7, crying out with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with devils and so forth. The lame were healed. And all these things that Philip did, and he was just an ordinary person. And there was great joy in that city. And everywhere that the people went, when they did some of these great miracles, in fact, sometimes a whole city, you know, turns to God just because of the miracles. Now, can you imagine all of us that are here? I mean, if you begin to go into your workplace, if you begin to go into your schools, or you go into the grocery stores, even women and so forth, you go to the gym or wherever you are, I don't care. You know, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And Jesus said, the Bible said, Jesus Christ the same. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8. Jesus Christ the same. Everybody say Jesus Christ the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. Yes, that's true. The things he did before, he will do today, and he will keep on doing, because he is the same. Now you can go anywhere. You can go to the market, you can go to the grocery store, you can go to your schools and so forth, and you can go to the gym, and then you can meet somebody at the car wash or whatever. It doesn't matter. You go down your street and somebody is having a problem and so forth. Most of the people in this world are hurting. You know, everywhere you go, people are hurting. They have crises, these economic woes or whatever situation in their families and so forth. When you pray and God changes that situation, they will want to know where you worship. They're going to say, well, you know, I'd like to know about your God and so forth like that. And then maybe perhaps you can invite them to church and all of that and so forth. Now, Peter, I don't have time to read all of this, you know, but Peter, he went down to different places and he did all kinds of things, you know. And, you know, they even went, he was somewhere, they'd say, well, you know, Peter is in town, let's bring all the sick and so forth. You know, just his shadow passing by will heal the sick. Now, Peter was a man that couldn't even witness before he made. But when he received the power of the Holy Ghost, it made all the difference in his life. Now, there are many people here sitting here today that say, well, I've been baptized with the Holy Ghost and so forth. But what are you doing with it? You see? What are you doing with it? How many souls have you brought into the kingdom? Now, can you imagine? It's been almost 17 months or so since we opened this church. If everybody that is sitting here today has brought one soul into the kingdom of God, and they followed you to church, don't you think that this place will be full by now? Jesus said, there is yet room in my house. So go out and compel them. Do all of these things. Bring them in. My house must be filled. Now let's not be like Jonah, who had no compassion and so forth. And he didn't care for the mercy of God and the people, but he wanted them to be destroyed. But God said, no, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. Our job is to proclaim the mercies of God and be a witness everywhere you go. Now, this is only the first part of this message. And for the sake of time, I have to end it here. You know, but we are challenging everybody today to begin an awareness that you are a witness for Christ. We don't want this comfort zone that we come to church and we just sitting here, we praise the name of the Lord, we shout the victory, we sing all these wonderful songs and so forth like that. And we feel good about ourselves and then we go back home and that's it. And then we come back the next day. We want to be soul winners. How many of you want to be a soul winner? Amen. I want to be a soul winner. Oh yes. The Bible says, blessed is that servant whom when his master shall come and shall find him so doing. You see? Oh my. When he comes, what will he find you doing? Will you be out somewhere working for your Lord? Will you be a witness in your school? Will you be somewhere? I don't care if you are in a sports team or anything. You can witness, you know, to your, maybe, you know, one day somebody has a sprained ankle on your team. You can say, well, you know, believe Jesus can heal that. You say, yeah, you know, and pray for them and so forth like that. Well, praise God. You can do all of those things. And if those things happen, then people will give glory to God. Praise God. Now, just so you know that these things are real. Amen. Praise God. The Bible says that when the apostles, they went everywhere, and those disciples and so forth, Jesus was walking with them and fulfilling their word with signs following. And when they felt a little faint, you know, I mean, sometimes they felt faint too. You can read it in Acts chapter 4. Peter would pray again after they felt faint. He would say, Lord, stretch forth your hands to him and grant that signs and wonders will be done again. And then they will be filled with the Holy Ghost again. And they will have renewed energy to keep on witnessing. Now, the challenge for you today is you must be a soul winner. Take the gospel to the people. The Bible said this gospel shall be preached in all the world for a witness. That's in Matthew, that's in Matthew chapter 24. This gospel shall be preached. See? We must preach this gospel of deliverance to everybody. Now, not some tale, not some stories. And we have to do it the way they did it in the apostolic way in the Bible. That's the way they did it in the beginning. They didn't do it by fables. They didn't do it by gimmicks. They didn't do it by a sideshow. They did it by the power of God. How many of you say amen? got real quiet in here. Well, you know, throughout the book of the Acts of the Apostles, I didn't see any gimmicks that they used in saving the people. They just went out there and they preached the gospel. They healed the sick. And they cleansed the lepers and they did all of these things. And the people's hearts were turned unto the Lord when they saw the great power of God. Today we got all these social programs and ideas of how we are going to win people to the Lord and so forth. It's not going to work. You got to do it the way it is in the Bible. The preaching of the gospel is foolishness to people, but it is a power of God unto salvation for everyone that believes. Now, today, I'm going to show you, you know, that this word that we are talking about is real. Amen? Praise God. You know, every time we come to church, you know, there is an opportunity to see God do something great. Praise God. Well, I know that I remember last August, we were right here in this church. And I believe it was August the 12th. I remember the date till this day. There was a young man, and everybody listen here today. There was a man that came to us from Cass, and he was sitting right there in a wheelchair. You know, and he came, and he was sitting there, and you know, we made the altar call for prayer, and you know, people who wanted to be healed that day. We said, you know, and I went down there, and I, you know, said to him, I said, sir, how long have you been in that chair? And he said, well, 8 years. I said, well, how did you get to be in that condition? Now, how many of you were here on that Sunday? If you were here, I want you to see your hands up. Yes. And I said, how long were you there? He said, 8 years. I said, well, you know, how did you get to be there? Well, you know, he had spinal cord injury, and he had brain surgery and so forth, and his back got messed up since then, and he couldn't walk. And he's been confined to that chair, you know, for 8 years. And he came in on that wheelchair that day, and I said, well, do you believe the Lord can heal you, sir? He said, yes, I believe. I said, well, I don't have any money to give you, but such as I have, I give unto you in the name of Jesus, sir. Get out of that chair and come on. You know, and I took a few steps back, and he, you know, and don't help him up, you know, he got up on his own. And the next thing you know, he's walking all around this church. How many of you remember that? Yes, if you remember, give the Lord a hand clap. Praise God. Now, why do I say all of that? We've got a gentleman here today on a wheelchair also. And how many of you believe that he can get out of that wheelchair? Praise the Lord. Now, that is the gospel, is the power of God. That's right. You know, so, you know, and anybody that is sick here this morning, I'm going to give you a chance now to come up forward, and we're going to show that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. How many of you say amen to that? Amen. If you believe that, give the Lord a big clap offering. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we don't have anything in ourselves to do any miracles. But one thing we have is faith in His name. And through faith in His name, we've seen great wonders everywhere. We've seen those wonders in the Philippines and so forth. And some of you, all of us, are fixing to see that again this morning. Praise God. Hallelujah. I want everybody to please rise. And I'm going to invite those who are sick, come forward. I'm going to ask that gentleman, don't be embarrassed. Come forward that you're on the wheelchair. Amen. Praise God. Help him up here. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I want to ask the praise team to come and sing a song about healing. And we're going to do this. And if you are sick in here this morning, the power of God is present to heal. And Jesus already said, go in my name. Freely you have received, and freely give. He said, cleanse the lepers, raise the lame, do all of these things in my name. Praise God. Hallelujah. What song are you guys going to sing? They're going to sing a song. It's called Healer. And as they sing this song, I'm still going to give the rest of the people in here an opportunity to come forward and receive your healing from the Lord. We are witnesses not only of His love and His grace, but we are witnesses of His power, the power of His resurrection. Praise God. And as we begin to sing this, as the choir begins to sing this song, I want everybody in here to believe the Lord with me. And I'm going to pray now. Lift up your hands, everybody, all over this audience. Let's cast out the unclean spirits. Father, in the name of Jesus, I command the unclean spirits to depart from the people of God in Jesus' name. Because the Bible says, this sign shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out. It is an unclean spirit that causes sickness. Come out of the people in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. What would you like the Lord to do for you?
My eyes is failing me.
You have trouble with your eyes.
I have got pregnant and I lost it.
She's got trouble with her eyes. And she's praying also for the pregnancy and so forth like that. She says she had some miscarriage before. We're going to pray. Do you believe the Lord can do all of that for you?
Yes.
Now, how are you going to know that the Lord healed the pregnancy this time? It's because He will heal your eyes. You've got pain in your eyes right now?
Yes.
So I'm going to pray and the Lord is going to take the pain out. In Jesus' name. Lord, take the pain from her eyes. Oh, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Take the pain out of her eyes, Lord. And out of her head and the pain that is bothering her with these eyes. And by this deliverance, let her know also that you have delivered her in this pregnancy this time. In Jesus'
Amen.
Mighty name.
Amen.
Now, I want you to check your eyes out while I pray for this young man. What would you like the Lord to do for you? Huh? What? You came with her? Okay, that's good. He came with her, his mom. What would you like the Lord to do?
I have strong headaches and I have high blood pressure.
Because she has a lot of headaches. You have high blood pressure? How can you have high blood pressure? How old are you?
13.
Keep the music down just a little bit. This young lady says she's got some trouble in her head and she has high blood pressure. You're too young to have high blood pressure. Really, Jesus can take all of that out? Praise God. I want the church to believe with me. Thank you, Jesus. Raise up your hands. Say, I love you, Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, heal her of these headaches. I lay my hands in the name of the Lord and she must recover of these headaches. And let your word pass through her body now. He said the word of God goes into the bones and the marrows and corrects everything that's in her bloodstream. In Jesus' name, take away the high blood pressure. She's too young for that. Thank you, Lord. Correct it. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise God. I'm going to come to you, gentlemen, in a minute. What would you like the Lord to do for you, sir?
Since the beginning of this week, I have been having severe pain around my neck here and my head. And I don't feel comfortable about it. I've been believing for God.
Are you having a pain right now, sir?
Yes, I still have it. I know the Lord is going to take it away.
His brother has been having pain in the back of his head and so forth since the beginning of this week. And he's believing the Lord that the Lord will take the pain away. Let's believe the Lord with him together. Father, in the name of Jesus, you said they shall lay their hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. As I lay my hands, I rebuke the pain. Come out of his body in Jesus' name. And everything that is wrong that has caused this pain to be in his body, we command the power of God to correct it in Jesus' name. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. And the church said, Lord, we thank you. Lift up your hand, brother, and praise the name of the Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, just stay here in the power of God, under this anointing. I'm going to come back for your testimony in a minute. Mama, what would you like the Lord to do for you? Amen. Now, mother here, she also has high blood pressure. And she wants the Lord to... How many of you believe the Lord can deliver her? Praise God. Stretch forth your hands, church, towards this place. Father, Lord, in the name of Jesus, thy word is quick and powerful. It goes in the bones and marrows. Correct the high blood pressure, Lord. In the name of Jesus. And give her rest and peace, Lord, that the rest of her years she may live it in peace. In Jesus' mighty name. Lord, thank you for doing it, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Mama, raise your hands up and praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. What would you like the Lord to do?
I have like a stiff neck and like this knot at the bottom of my, the top of my neck.
This sister has a stiff neck and she's got a knot in the back of her head there. Do you believe the Lord can take that out?
Yes.
Praise God. She says she believes. Now lift up your hands and praise the name of the Lord. Father, Lord, in the name of Jesus, heal the stiff neck, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Dissolve also the knot that's in the back of her head. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Say thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Father, Lord, thank you for healing her now. In Jesus' mighty name. Stay in the presence of God. I'll come back for your testimony in a minute. So, what would you like the Lord to do for you?
So, whenever I sleep, I used to be put to a heart leper. Fatigue myself, and when I wake, it will be as if it's continuous. I'll be sweating. And every night.
But you want the Lord to
I want the Lord to give me peace.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Our Father here, he says, every night when he goes to bed, it's like, you know, he goes through some struggles and fatigue and heavy on him. By the time he wakes up, he's even sweating and so forth like that. He wants the Lord to give him peace. Amen. The Bible says, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lord, give him peace and rest. I command those demon spirits that bother him in the night, depart from him in Jesus' name. Now, Lord, put a shield around him, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you, Lord. I plead the blood of Jesus upon him. And the devil shall not afflict you. Oh, yes. The unrighteousness and the all of this evil shall not come near you. Hallelujah. You shall have peace and tranquility. And the Lord will give you sweet sleep every night. You wake up and you'll be refreshed. In Jesus' mighty name, praise God. Hallelujah. How you doing, sir?
Just fine.
What's your name?
Melvin.
Melvin. How long have you been in this wheelchair?
About a year and a half.
About a year and a half. Did you hear the testimony I gave of the man who came here in a wheelchair? And he walked right out of that wheelchair. Do you believe the Lord can do that for you today?
Yes, I can. Yes, I do. I have a deterioration of my hip and my spine.
He said he's got a deterioration in his hip and his spine. Well, the Lord is the creator. Do you believe he can create that? Give you a new hip?
New hip.
You believe that?
New spine.
New spine also?
Amen.
Now, so, you know, you've got a few things that put you in this chair. But he is a kind God. He's a merciful God.
Amen.
And he brought you here today for a reason.
Amen.
This is your first time here, sir?
First time.
This is your first time? Well, praise God. This is his first time in the church today. Amen. Praise God. Let's give the Lord a hand clap for that. How many of you know the Lord brought him here for a reason? Especially on a day like this that we preach this message on the gospel and the power of God to set free. Now, I want you to believe God. I'm going to ask you to do a few things. You just believe God. Don't worry about it. Don't think about it. You know, the Bible says that Jesus is the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. Now, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior?
Yes, I do.
You love him?
serve him?
Oh, would you like to serve him all your life?
All my life.
And if he does this for you, will you serve him all your life?
All my life.
Will you give a testimony to your friends?
All my life.
Praise God. He said he'll give a testimony to all his friends. Amen. Praise God. Now, in Jesus' name, I command the unclean spirit, come out of his body. In the name of Jesus Christ. Now, Lord, let the power of God descend upon him. Give him strength in his spine, in his hip, the deterioration in his side, Lord. Create and work a miracle, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God. Now, just like Peter said, he said, I don't have $1,000 to give you, to help you. He said, but such as I have, I give unto you. Now, such as I also have, I give unto you today, Melvin. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I want you to get up out of that wheelchair. I want you to receive strength in your legs. I want you to receive strength in your hips. I want you to receive strength in your spine. In Jesus' name. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on, you can do it. Come on, you can do it. You can do it. Come on. You're gonna get stronger. You're gonna get stronger. You're gonna get stronger. You're gonna get stronger. You'll get stronger. Now you're gonna have to do it on your own now. You can do it on your own. You can do it on your own. Don't lean on me. You can do it on your own. You can do it on your own. Come on, lift up your hands. Stretch your hands. Stretch your hands. Stretch your hands. Stretch your hands. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. We seem to have a lot of high blood pressure. Now let's rebuke that spirit. Anxiety and all of these things and so forth that cause the high blood pressure. In the name of Jesus, let there be rest upon your people, Lord. Father, Lord, take down the high blood pressure in his body. Take away the anxiety. Low blood pressure, high blood pressure, whatever the chemical imbalance in his body, correct it now, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Praise the name of Jesus. Papa, lift up your hands and praise the Lord. Marvin, oh, you can do this. You can do this. You can do this. We're not done yet. Come on, stand up out of that wheelchair. Oh, yes. He said he's been in that wheelchair now a little over a year. Oh yes, I want you to stretch forth your leg. You know, you got some problem with that hip, right? Oh yes, today Jesus Christ makes you whole. He makes you whole. Now you can do this without leaning on me. You can do it on your own. Praise God. Lift up your hand. Come on. Praise God. Now stretch. 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 Yeah, you can do it. He'll give you. He'll create. He'll create in there. He'll create for you. No slap. Yeah. He'll create for you. He'll create for you. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. 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 There's somebody else back here. Thank you. the music down for a minute. Hold down the music for a minute. Hold down the music. My mic is not working. Hold down the music. Hold down the music. This mic is not working. I need another mic. There's another gentleman back here that needs prayers. So, how are you? What is your name?
I'm going to hand the elevator.
What's that?
Glad you had the elevator.
Yes. What's your name, sir?
I'm Wayne.
Wayne, what would you like the Lord to do for you? Can you get me another mic, please? Or get me a new battery?
They told me Friday they got to stent out the legs. I'm losing my legs completely because the arteries are shutting. I shattered and broke the knee 11 weeks ago. I walked with no painkillers past 11 weeks with a broken shattered knee. These are so rotten unless I have some ambrosia.